Masters are also known. This is the military political leadership of Ukraine.
Our Russia editor Steve Rosenberg sent this report from Moscow.
It was the day when Russia's capital was reminded of Russia's war in Ukraine. The investigations committee confirmed there'd been a high-profile assassination outside an apartment building. A bomb hidden on a scooter had exploded, killing Lieutenant General Igor Kirillov, head of Russia's nuclear, biological and chemical protection troops, and his assistant, Ilya Polikarpov. Only yesterday, Ukraine had reportedly charged the general in absentia for allegedly using chemical weapons on the battlefield. Russian state TV blamed the blast on Ukraine. With the attack, it said, President Zelensky had signed his own death sentence. The former Kremlin leader, Dmitry Medvedev, called for the killers to be tracked down in Russia. We must do everything, he said, to destroy the patrons who are in Kiev. Near the crime scene, local residents spoke of their shock.
The explosion was so powerful, I was terribly afraid to look out the window. People started coming out of this house to see what happened. Thankfully, my building wasn't damaged, but it's very scary.
Even after nearly 3 years of war, for many Muscovites, Russia's war in Ukraine is very distant. It's something they see only on TV or on their phones. But the killing of a Russian general here, that is a wake-up call that this war is very real and very close to home.
Steve Rosenberg reporting from Moscow. The UK imposed sanctions on General Kirillov in October. So what more do we know about him and what he's alleged to have done? It's our security correspondent, Frank Gardner.
The accusations against General Kirillov are multiple and serious. As well as spreading disinformation, he was accused by Ukraine and its Western allies of ordering the mass use of a particularly unpleasant toxic chemical agent against Ukrainian troops in the Donbass. Chloropicrin is a riot control gas that causes intense irritation and pain in the eyes and lungs, forcing troops out of their trenches into the open, where they can then be picked off by drones and artillery fire. Its use in warfare is banned under Schedule 3 of the Chemical Weapons Convention, which Russia has signed. But Ukraine says it has evidence that Russian troops have used it on nearly 5,000 occasions. As the commander of Russia's radiological, chemical and biological forces, General Kirillov was already sanctioned by Britain for his alleged role in ordering the use of banned chemical weapons in Ukraine. Russia denies it has used them.
Frank Gardner. When it comes to marine life conservation, one of the most well-known activists is the anti-whaling campaigner Paul Watson. In 2010, he was accused of damaging a Japanese ship and injuring a whaler. 5 months later, he was taken into custody in Greenland while Japanese authorities pursued his extradition. On Tuesday, Denmark denied the request. He's been speaking to Sean Ray, who asked how it felt to be released.
Well, I'm certainly relieved because I haven't seen my family since June, and that means I'll be able to be with my two young boys for Christmas.
How have you been treated?
Very well. I mean, the prison's a very decent prison. The prisons are all friendly. The prison guards are all friendly. And people of Greenland are very friendly, so it wasn't that bad. The only concern I had was the fact that I hadn't seen my children since June, and I was only allowed 10 minutes a week to speak with them.
What about this question of this international kind of red notice that exists against your name? What are you going to try and do about that?
Well, in the new year, we're going to go to Lyon to Interpol's headquarters to confront them, because my case has been under investigation by a European committee looking into political abuse by Interpol. That's been there since 2017. So we want to really get to the bottom of this. You know, the Interpol red notices, this is for major crimes, serial killing, war criminals, you know, major drug dealers. Nobody gets put on that list for trespassing. It's absurd. That just indicates just how powerful Japanese influence is.
Japan's wanted to accuse you, at least, of actions that led to one of its whalers being injured, and I suppose you might argue that personal injury would be justified in session.
Yeah, well, the evidence, and we documented everything, the evidence clearly shows that the Japanese pepper sprayed themselves. You could see it going back into their faces and then rubbing their faces after. And we never used any chemicals at all that would cause that kind of a thing. And I wasn't even there at the time that this happened. So I'm being accused of something where I wasn't part of the planning or even in the participation.
Are you planning further action?
Well, we will continue our opposition to illegal whaling by Japan, Norway, and Iceland.
Anti-whaling campaign now, Paul Watson.
A woman from the Philippines, who's spent nearly 15 years on death row in Indonesia, has headed home. Mary Jane Veloso was convicted of taking 2.5 kilograms of heroin in a suitcase from Malaysia to the island archipelago in 2010. But she's always claimed that she was duped into carrying the drugs. Asia Pacific editor Mickey Bristow told me more about the case.
Well, this is the mother of two, Mary Jane Veloso, who was a domestic helper. She spent some time abroad in Dubai, came back to the Philippines in 2010, and was promised a job in Malaysia. Travelled to Malaysia, the job didn't materialise, but the person who had recruited her said, could you take a suitcase to Indonesia? She did do that. Unwittingly, she says, inside the suitcase was 2.6 kilograms of heroin. She was caught at the airport, put on trial, and sentenced to death. And she's been on death row now for nearly 15 years, and there've been some quite close calls. In 2015, for example, she was scheduled to be executed by firing squad with 8 others. The Philippine government made a last desperate attempt to save her life. She wasn't executed, but that last minute reprieve came so late that in the Philippines, they didn't even know until afterwards, when they found out there'd been 8 people executed, not 9, that their appeal had been successful. So there's been a real desperately long campaign to have this woman freed, because many in the Philippines thought she'd been duped. Now she's on her way home.
And why has she been freed? On what grounds?
Well, she's not actually been freed yet. She's been released from prison in Indonesia. But as far as Indonesia's concerned, she's been transferred to prison in the Philippines. But they're giving the Philippine government and Ferdinand Marcos, the president, the right to grant her clemency if he wants to. So, of course, I would imagine the campaign now in the Philippines was, as soon as Mary Jane Veloso gets back and is presumably transferred to prison, in a short time she might be freed from prison after being given clemency by the President of the Philippines.
So she's going to get quite a reception in the Philippines when she gets back?
She's going to get quite a reception. There's a lot of sympathy for her in this case, particularly the trial itself. It was conducted in Indonesian, translated into English. Two languages that she knew nothing of, really. She didn't really speak English. Her language is Tagalog, the Philippine language. It wasn't until a few days after her sentence she actually realized she'd been sentenced to death. A priest had to tell her she hadn't understood the sentence when it was delivered in court. Also, because of her situation, lots of Philippine women go abroad as domestic workers. They work hard. Not always are they treated well. They leave their families back home. So that generated a lot of sympathy as well. So there's been an awful lot of sympathy with this case. And there'll be an awful lot of people at the airport glad to see her back.
Our Asia Pacific editor, Mickey Bristow.
Well, what Venice
be like without its bridges? 140 crossings. Network the city's many islands, but one bridge has remained a point of controversy for locals and tourists alike, and that is, of course, the Constitution Bridge, a modern addition to the Grand Canal, which has become notorious for its slippery glass steps, leading to numerous injuries and costly lawsuits. Now, the Venice City Council has decided to replace its slippery glass steps with a safer alternative. Ella Becknell reports.
Getting off the train at Venice Santa Lucia station, one of the first things you'll encounter is the Ponte della Costituzione, or the Constitutional Bridge.